Like to thank Brother Bill for helping us. He takes and puts all this together every year, every week, looks after the finances of the class. Last year, we gave to missions $8,861 out of this class. That's tremendous, guys, to be. I just thank God that you do what you do. And you not only met the needs of our missionaries every month that we took on to support, but you've also helped a lot of people when they had financial problems and things of that nature. So the financial reports. Go ahead.
Let me just comment while you mentioned that, Brother Joe. I don't take for granted the support that men give me for that internet ministry. Uh-huh. I appreciate it more than
you
know. And I just
want to
say thank you for your support.
But every year has been, sometimes I wonder if we're going to meet them. Our obligations, but we always do. For several months, I've just been bouncing around back in the wisdom books looking to what to teach, what to start off a new. And I was caught between Acts and Corinthians. I know I've been both places before, but the more that I study, and the more I see the need in churches for us to know our Bibles, rightly divide our Bibles. I see it so much. As I told you last week, it seemed, where do all the divisions come from? There's nothing new under the sun. The Bible says what it says means what it says. But we take off. And as I told some guys the last couple of days, when you study your Bible, a lot of times you'll come to a crossroads. Which way are you going to go? Sometimes we just need to stop and say, as I've said over the last couple of weeks, I don't know. That's not hard to say. And then pray to God that we keep on moving. But we're going to start off in 1 Corinthians and go through some of that. And I know I've been in this class, done this several times in this class, but what I look at here is Acts chapter 17 and Acts chapter 18 before I get into 1 Corinthians. Now, Paul was in Athens, and I can see his message that he had in Athens just coming out all over him in 1 and 2 Corinthians. Let's just go there just a little bit. And, well, all we need to do is you look in Athens, and Paul, he come across all this wisdom and knowledge. And when I was teaching Acts in this class, I've shared this with a lot of you before. We've got a lot of new people. But I was teaching in Acts and then went to lunch after church and went down to the restaurant down here. And there was a placemat on the table about Athens and Greece. And it was showing that Athens was the first place to ever start open-air voting, democracy. And looking at that, they seem to have had everything. But when Paul, in Acts chapter 17, you go, let's just read the last two verses. So Paul departing from among them, howbeit certain men claven to him and believed, among the which is a woman named Damaris and others with them. Then you go on down to 18. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And then when he gets to Corinth, he goes over here, and we'll cover this better later. But right now, let's look a little at it. But to them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. He comes just as simple. If you think Paul can't speak fluently, go look at his message in Acts chapter 17. But he tells them down in Corinth, he said, I come to you just as simple as I could come to you, just declaring the gospel. And then he says, you see your calling, brethren. Not many. As the brother pointed out last week, that M's in there. Not many wise men, not many noble, not many mighty. Think about it. Not many presidents, not many congressmen, not many scribes, not many writers, not many lawyers, disputers. Not many. Now, I didn't say there wasn't any. I'm glad he put the M on there. But he said, not many. You see your calling, brother. So you take this sense. Paul leaves Athens and goes where? As a worldly place as you could get. I mean, and look how the gospel's received. The gospel's received by him there. So let's start off here. And Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul, and you see here in parentheses or italic, called to be. This is, our King James Bible is an honest Bible. Do you see that? That was added there, to be. But it's so honest. You can see it. And it gives the reading, not called an apostle, but called to be an apostle. You see the same thing down in verse 2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Not called saints, but called to be saints. So, Paul, called to be an apostle. Now, we're going to cover his apostleship a little bit later on when we get over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and some of those chapters. And we're going to cover and then go over to Romans chapter 15. But Corinthians was written sometime. It's argued a little bit here and there. And I don't put much stake in it. It don't really matter to me. The only reason that I will cover these when I'm teaching the Bible or trying my best to teach the Bible is we need to know what light a man had. You realize when John wrote that he could have sat down, I'm not saying he did, I'm not saying what God didn't say, but he could have had the writings of Paul right before him. He could have read them. But when James wrote, no, he didn't have them. Brother, this book is as progressive in the light of God as it can be. If you don't believe, we'll see it when we go through here in Corinthians. Apollos, knowing only the baptism of John, it's progressive. And when you look at what light that somebody had, I understand God spoke to these people, He spoke, but there's some light that comes in. And it's steady through this book. And it's how men respond to the light. And we'll cover those things. All right, as I've said a few of these things, I say a lot in this class, but I am getting older, if you can see. But I can't remember like I used to remember. You know, I sat down years ago to memorize everything Jesus said in John. Got through the biggest part of it. Still can hit a little of it today, but I can't remember those things anymore. I can't. But when I think of the Bible and learn it, I like to look at it this way. Lay those books out in your mind. Put a little outline in your mind. And when you know, if I'm talking to someone, I can think pretty quick maybe how to go get that scripture. Okay? There's a bank. But no, for example, as we get started in Corinthians here, Romans, anybody remember what I told you a couple years ago? Romans? Anybody want to tell me? saved by grace through faith plus nothing. Remember that about Romans. If you'll remember that one little line there, saved by grace through faith plus nothing. That's Romans. Galatians is kept by grace through faith plus nothing. Remember? When they had the little dispute there in Galatians? All right. Ephesians is the church. Those that are saved by grace plus nothing and kept by grace plus nothing. That's Ephesians. All right. In Colossians is the head of that body. So Romans is kept by grace through faith plus, or saved by grace through faith plus nothing. Galatians is kept by grace through faith plus nothing. Ephesians is that body of believers who are saved by grace through faith plus nothing and kept by grace through faith plus nothing. And 1 Corinthians, Colossians is the head of that. And 1 Corinthians is a practical Christian life. And as we talk to people a lot, you'll see, and I believe in right division, but I'm going to tell you, when we study our Bible, we come to points, there's some things we don't know. And we can start dispensating away things. Now, we need to rightly divide this book. We need to do that. But when we come to the book, we need to look at Paul. I've heard people tell me, you know, Paul was just... the commission of propitiation, the redemption is a payment for sin, propitiation, the payment accepted. And Paul was just a message of reconciliation. And that was his ministry. I've been told that. And they only look at the Bible as Paul's writings and nothing else holds any water. That's not good. Paul was given more than the ministry of reconciliation. Paul, right here in Corinthians, gives you a practical outlook of salvation in the Christian life. Bringing it out. How to do it. Right here in the... well, let me just move on, then I'll hit this to come to it. So it's an outworking of salvation in the practical Christian life. Paul covers that a lot. In 1 Corinthians, he covers it thoroughly. So he's given ministry, not just we'll take. Now, some of these things, I'm just going to give a little outline of what we're going to talk about. And in my studies in my Bible, I've come in the years up to a certain point and it's hit a stump. Have you? And I hear so much discussion around the term where Paul said he came not to baptize but to preach the gospel. That's not old Paul's ministry. And to say that is wrong. The whole book of 1 Corinthians will tell you that. He's straightening out some problems in his church. He supplied the pastors with the information to run a church, didn't he? He's not just holding an ultra-dispensationalist and wants you to... You got to stop somewhere. Honest folks, I've been down this road. I've watched people. As I was telling one of our brothers yesterday, and then even this morning we were talking, I've seen people go and they go and they go and they go, and then they come to a crossroads. And they run their... Think on these things. Am I not telling you the truth? Then they'll run, they'll come to this crossroads, and they're getting so deep and so philosophical. Then they'll run to the left into Calvinism or run to the right back under the law in Mennonites and things of that nature. Now, if I'm lying, I'm dying. I'm dying, that's for sure. But that's where they end up. Everybody wants something new. There's nothing new under the sun. And God wrote some things in here that I can't wait. I could imagine when our Lord and Savior sat and talked, and those people sat on those grassy banks, I can't wait. I know we're going to know as we're known. And I'll probably end up, but I'd just love to sit there on that grassy bank and let him teach me this, wouldn't you? Because we have divisions. And that's one of the things you're going to see here as you go into Corinthians. Where did these divisions come from? Not rightly dividing the Word of God. That's the first thing. It's got to be divided. If you don't divide it right, there's a division. Amen? And then some divisions are necessary. And some aren't. The things that gives the church in Corinth, it's not doctrinal things. It's worldly things that Paul has to approach in this church. Now, when he needs to, like over in 1 Thessalonians and over in Timothy, 2 Thessalonians, he'll straighten out some doctrine on the resurrection. He'll straighten out some in doctrine back when we get in the back of this book on the resurrection. And he'll straighten out some doctrine on that it's not past. Some people was teaching they had missed it, missed the rapture. All right? But the condition of the church was carnal. That was the condition of the church. And if we look in these verses, we'll read here in a minute, man, they had knowledge, didn't they? They had the gifts, 18 of them mentioned in the book. They had knowledge, they had the gifts, but they were carnal. And what we'll be looking at as we go through here, there's a whole chapter on the abuse of tongues. I've got a brother that listens, probably, as I've told you before, he probably listens to me. I've got two brothers that listens to me here. And one of them, he's Church of God. That's a biblical name, by the way. Church of God, we're going to talk about it here. But they want to get in this carnal teaching book and stay there. Check me out. Acts and 1 Corinthians. Acts is a transitional book. Are you going to build your ministry on a swinging bridge? Acts is transitional. You're coming from one period into another period. And you better realize that when you're reading your Bible. Studying your Bible, you better realize that Acts is a transitional book. If you want to build a ministry and call yourself, well, I won't get into a church, and build it on Acts 2:38, don't tell me they don't. This church is built on that one scripture in a transitional book speaking straight to a Jew. I challenge you to study these things. Dig at it. Look at it. But know, when you come to a crossroads, be careful. Be careful. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing. And that's what we need. So you have a whole chapter on the abuse of tongues, a half a chapter on the abuse of the Lord's Supper. Now, traditions, a lot of time, are bad. But sometimes it's better to lean to a tradition than it is not to. Think on it. Sometimes it is. Haircuts, one half chapter. I'm telling you the truth. This is what's in Corinthians. A whole chapter on abuse of tongues. A half a chapter on the abuse of the Lord's Supper. Haircuts, a half a chapter. A half a chapter on arguing among yourselves. One chapter on immorality in the church. This church in Corinth is filled with spiritual babies. Why would I want to indoctrinate my church on the book of Corinthians as my example? why would I want to take the books in Acts, which is transitional? Matthew is transitional. We'll look at some of these things as we go through. Now, I don't ask you to believe everything I tell you. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. You check it out in this book. I'll do my best to give you the scriptures, as I've told you before, and let you follow them. But there's going to be places we'll disagree. I'm sure there are. But like I've told you, I'm open for you to tell me, because I will consider what you said and go to the scriptures. I do it all the time. Verse 1, call to be. The infinitive to be is in italics. And that's an honest Bible. This is an honest Bible. And you can clearly see why it was put in, right? But I believe it's just as much the Word of God as any of the rest of it. Okay. The Church of God, the Bible title of the body of Christ. Watch the person. Now, don't listen carefully to me. Don't misunderstand me. Who wants to use the word Christ all the time? Christ, Christ, Christ. I've seen them on my job. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan is a Christ, the anointed. Ezekiel 28. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. That gives his deity. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Certain churches, I've run into them a lot when I was young, going to tent meetings with my mother. She sang a lot in churches with them. Baptist writers. I've heard them say, Baptist was here and the Baptist will be here when the horn blows. Yeah, they will. And the Baptists are not Protestants. We know that. But the Church of God. Now, as we study in Corinthians, we'll see as we go through here. I'm rambling a lot today, but as we get into this, we're going to see that Paul didn't start the church. Now, a lot of people will tell me, yes, Paul started the church. The church was started with Paul. Romans chapter 16, he addresses some people who said, and I'm going to give you two different here. He said, I persecuted the church of God. Did he not? Did he not say that? He said, I persecuted the church of God. And then he also said in Romans 16, and he addressed the people, and he said, who were in Christ before me. Okay, Paul's given the ministry to the Gentiles, but let no man glory. Is that not what he says over here in chapter 3? Let no man glory in the flesh. Paul, our Lord and Savior, started the church. Just because, as I've said many times, and if you know, I got something in my pocket, and just because you don't know it, don't mean it's not there. Our Lord and Savior started the church. Now, I'll get a whooping, something probably from some of it. But Paul, and as I'll talk with some people say, well, there's the church in the wilderness, there's the church that was in Christ. There's two churches, the church with the Jews in it and the church. There's the church of God. Now watch how this starts off here in chapter 2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the church of God. See, this letter is not only to the Corinthians, it's to us who call upon the name of the Lord. This book, it's written to us. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that gives the peace. Every gift comes from Him. Every one of them. So, let's just look at how Paul starts this book off. Look at Paul's way he begins to talk. In verse 3, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said a while ago, watch that man who wants to say Christ, 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 Christ. That's all you hear out of him. Pretty soon he's going to baptize you for your salvation. Amen. Been there, done that, worked a job for 40-some years. Fellowship with good people. As we will cover as we get into Corinthians, the Spirit, when good people say good things at the wrong time, what Spirit's moving them? Good people can say good things and be moved with the wrong spirit. Not a putting it. Not rightly dividing it. So, in verse 3, in verse 1, it's Jesus Christ. In verse 2, it's Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ our Lord. In verse 3, the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 4, Jesus Christ. In 6, Christ. In verse 8, the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 9, Jesus Christ our Lord. In verse 10, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you see where Paul's putting the glory, don't we, quick, is in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right, let me hit just a couple more things here. I'll skip some of this. Like I was saying there, the Christ, the word Christ, is anointed. And Lucifer, Satan, was a Christ. But he's not the Lord's Christ, Luke 2. Luke 2, the Lord's Christ is Jesus. And Paul calls him by his name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, you say, how's that deity? The Lord, God. Jesus, Son of God. Christ, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Shows his deity, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his deity. Verse 4, look at it, verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. All the blessings that we have in the Lord is in Jesus Christ. If you think of Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3, and you look in there, you see the seven spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right? All right. Verse 5. Look at verse 5. That in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Look at what this carnal church had. They were enriched by Him in speech, witnessing, utterance, speaking, and in knowledge. Knowledge, 1 Corinthians chapter, knowledge puffeth up. Amen? Charity edifies. It says, whether there be tongues, they'll see. Charity suffereth long. That's my favorite part of that. I've always thought this. Charity suffereth long and is kind. And my statement to myself is, how long can I suffer and still be kind? Not long. Most of us, when we suffer a little bit, we want to lash out, don't we? When we suffer, we have to be kind. When Psalms 22, when Jesus was, and he's talking about Jesus there, and when he was squeezed, what come out? Let me look at that right quick. I love that place. You don't have to follow me. I bounce around a lot. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. Look what come out of him when he was squeezed. But thou art holy. Charity suffereth long and is kind. How long can you suffer and still be kind? That's the character of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection being conformed to his image. We're to be like him. Verse number 6. Look what it says in 6. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, they're saved. Just as pure as they can be. They have the gifts. 18 of them will be listed in this book. They're saved. They have the gifts and they have knowledge. And Paul thanks God for that they have these things. Make them a little easier to work with them, won't it? If they don't have any knowledge, they're going to be hard to work with. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. They come behind in no gift. They had the gifts. They're there. And they came from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Who shall also, this is the best script, one of the best scriptures that you'll find for eternal security. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall confirm you to the end. If somebody takes me over to Matthew and tells me to endure to the end, have you ever had anybody take you over there? And say, endure to the end? My endurance is not in me. I'm going to be confirmed to the end. Watch, blameless, in those days was a legal term, meaning not called into court. Otherwise, you're not called into court. You're blameless. Not sinless, but blameless. We're going to have a judgment seat of Christ. But we're blameless. When you look at the court, we're blameless. Amen? Confirm to establish and make absolutely secure. Romans 15:8. Let's look at this confirm. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. The truth, to confirm. Jesus, he's going to confirm us unto the end. We're going to be kept. And what a church could he say that to? Do you find any other church this carnal in the Bible as they were at Corinthians? No, you don't. Let me get back to my place here. That in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Saved people, so that you come behind in no gift. They had the gifts. They were just misusing the gifts. And they were judging others by the gifts. Paul will go on and say right in this book, if I'm not the hand, am I not a part of the body? He also says them comely parts, them handsome parts. We'll get up before that mirror, shave that face, won't we? Comb that hair. That's the comely parts. But we got somewhere back inside this body, little old gallbladder. I'm sure it ain't comely. And I'm sure not colon is it either. But man, I can't do without it. Look at how he relates to the body. And he said, you come behind and know none of the gifts. There's 18 gifts listed. And he said, you don't come behind in them. But the misuse of those gifts. Do you think that doesn't go on today? People will have a gift and they'll think they're arrived. I love this right here. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit since we're talking about this. And the base things of verse 28, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence. No flesh should glory in His presence. Now, why are we saying here? He's left Athens, the mighty, the noble, the athletes. Could you imagine somebody standing before God and saying, man, why are you talking to me like that? I won the Heisman Trophy. I was a four-term congressman. I was one of the noble. Man, I could bench press 400 pounds in the Cadillac. The mighty. He swung the stars out just as an afterthought. That no flesh should glory in His presence. That includes preachers. And don't tell me, over the years, as an independent Baptist, and I point my finger at myself first, had not gloried in men's flesh. As I told you last week, and I've told you many a time, and I believe it. We'll have a man of God stand up. Now, I'm not tough on men of God. I'm just trying to teach the Bible. And he'll say, well, you know, God puts no difference in this man down here and this man down there. Well, why don't that man down there get to preach in the church? Come on. Let's be honest. As I told you last week, and I've told you many times about the man in the flea market that got up in the back of the truck. I'll never quit telling that story. If you get tired of hearing it, you just have to get you another teacher. Because God gave me a good Sunday school lesson that Saturday down there. When that old man backed that truck up under that old shade tree and got up on that tailgate and preached heaven sweet and hell hot. Then I come back to my church and everybody said, man, I heard that man of God. Well, who'd you hear? Well, I've been to Southwide Baptist Fellowship. I said, I heard a man of God too. And they said, well, who'd you hear? I said, I don't know. He just climbed up in the back of that tailgate and let it rip.
Amen.
Amen. That's a man of God. And it probably took more guts for him to do that than it did for the man to stand in the Southwide and preach that message to nobody that's going to throw a tomato at him. Amen. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Well, I won 500 to the Lord. Just when did you do that? He would say. I thought the gospel is the power of God unto resurrection. That's what I thought the gospel was. We present the gospel. Amen? Rome 8. One of the two. These guys are getting ready to greet people. They're not walking out because I said that. I hope. Don't matter. Okay. Get back to the book. To confirm, to establish, and make absolutely secure. If something is confirmed, it's established as truth, right? He's going to confirm us until the end. That's beautiful verse. Now, verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Have you ever seen a church like that? I haven't. Yeah. Amen. Now I beseech you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Why is he saying that? He's going to come up here in a minute and somebody will say, I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I am of Christ. Well, you would say, well, all of them are the Christ, but no, I'll take you where he said Jesus Christ was the minister to the circumcision. To confirm the promises. Right? So, they were divisions among them. I'm this one, I'm that one, I'm that. But you know, some of you won't get to be with me when we get over here to this verse. But when you get into the end of chapter 3, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. No man can glory in the flesh. All are yours. And you are Christ's. And Christ is God's. Let a man so account of us. Who? Paul, Apollos, all of them. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. Most important thing is a steward, that he's faithful to the stewardship. What is he faithful to? The mysteries of God. What are they? What? You'll say, the mystery of godliness. This is what Paul brought to us, okay? And he said, you be faithful in this. Mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. Preachers that have been faithful to that over the years, we wouldn't have all these divisions. God in the flesh. The second mystery of the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's what there to be, mystery of the church, the body of Christ, how we can be one. All right, mystery of the blindness of Israel, mystery, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed, mystery of the rapture. These are things Paul's telling that he's preaching, that he's to be faithful to, and they're the mysteries, and they're not his. They were given to him, but they were not his. The mystery of iniquity. The mystery of iniquity. He said we're to be faithful to the mysteries. He said, is Christ divided? He said, there's divisions among you. But he said, whether it's Paul or whether... Hey, if preachers had been faithful to just what I read right there, where would America be today? Where would we be today if preachers had been faithful to the mystery of godliness? God was manifest in the flesh. Jehovah's Witness ain't faithful to that, is he? He wasn't God. He just created being. The mystery of the Gentiles. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. A little scattered, but we'll hit it better next week. Get right back in that first chapter in Corinthians and go through it and look at some of these verse by verse. Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. And God, thank you for your Son. Pray that you're blessed in the next hour, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.